Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our ever-living Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Easter Sunday is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We read chapter 24, verses 4 through 8. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothing. The women were terrified and bowed down with their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has been raised. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If you are looking for groceries, would you drive to an empty lot and wonder, where's the meat department? If you're looking for the airport, would you drive to the beach and wonder, where are all the airplanes? If you are going to a friend's house or maybe a family member's house today for Easter dinner, would you drive to a cemetery and wonder, where's everyone at? Of course not. Why would you look for groceries in an empty lot? Why would you look for an airport on a beach? And why would you look for the living among the dead? That, of course, is the question the angels asked the women who were looking for Jesus early that first Easter Sunday morning. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Maybe to us that sounds like a little bit of a silly question. It's perfectly understandable why the women were looking for Jesus here. In fact, if you go back just a few verses to the previous chapter in Luke's Gospel, we're told that these women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed after Joseph of Arimathea, and they observed the tomb, how his body was laid there. They saw him get buried in that tomb just the night before. So it's exactly where they thought Jesus would be. They saw him die. They saw him buried. They saw Joseph wrap up his body and put it in the tomb. Where else would they think Jesus was going to be? Well, remember the definition of irony that we've been considering during our Lenten series this year, the ironies of Jesus' passion. And we define irony as the result that is the complete opposite of what might be expected. A result that is the complete opposite of what might be expected. Well, the women came to the tomb expecting what? They came expecting to find a dead Jesus, not a living Savior. They certainly weren't expecting to run into two dazzling angels at the tomb telling them that Jesus is alive. But like I said, that's completely understandable. If we were in their shoes, we'd probably have done the exact same thing. But at the same time, they should have known better. How can you say that? Really, they should have known better? Well, listen again to the words of the angels. The angels' words are an incredible message of joy, but they're also a rebuke. If not a gentle rebuke, they're a rebuke of their lack of faith and their lack of understanding. Again, the angels said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has been raised. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again?" He had told them this. In fact, Jesus, knowing how we are, he told them many times. Again and again, he told them all the way back to Galilee, "I will suffer, I will be crucified, and on the third day I will rise again." You can look up Jesus' words for yourself in Matthew, in Mark, and Luke. We have at least four places where he says these very words to his disciples. Maybe they thought Jesus was speaking in parables or being symbolic. Whatever the reason was, The problem was that these women and his disciples never understood what Jesus meant. At least up to this point, they had not understood what he meant. They couldn't comprehend or believe his simple, straightforward words. Okay, well, they should have believed his words, right? But besides that, on top of that, what had just happened a few weeks earlier? Probably Jesus' most famous miracle and the one that drew an enormous crowd of people to follow him. He had just raised his good friend Lazarus from the dead, a man who'd been dead not 3 days, but 4 days. He'd raised Lazarus from the dead and proved that he had power over death. So these women and the rest of the disciples had every reason to believe. They should have trusted Jesus' words. They should have believed his promises. They should have come to the tomb that day expecting to find a living Savior. But instead, their reason, their doubts, their sadness, their own sinful weakness brought them to the tomb that day looking for a dead Jesus. I think we can all identify with these humble women. These humble women who did love their Lord deeply, can't we? We love him. We believe in him. But oftentimes our faith is weak too. Our faith is weak, especially when we hurt. At times when life seems impossible. When death is looking us in the face, either our own death or the death of a loved one. The natural response to us is not usually to believe Jesus' promises, but just to try and cope. And maybe cope in some ways that just aren't healthy or good. Our natural response is to wrap ourselves in sorrow and give in to despair. Or at best, just to try to put one foot in front of the other and just get through it. We can easily leave Jesus and his promises out of the picture. In that way, are these women very different from us? And the answer is they are not. When they looked into the tomb and were looking for the Lord, they were not expecting to see a living Savior. We are like them, and so the angels owe us a bit of a rebuke this morning too, don't they? But remember what they said in the very next breath about Jesus. They said, "He is not here, he is risen." In his great love, Jesus did what we think is impossible. He died on the cross, paid for all of our sins, and then rose from the dead. And because of that, now death is not the end. Death is not the victor. All those who die trusting in Jesus will rise and live forever with him. Even if their faith is weak, like it was for these women on that first Easter morning. Day by day, that power of the resurrection, the gospel itself, is a living force that changes our hearts. The gospel is the source of strength for our faith, especially on days when life hurts and when death comes. All too often when our faith is weak, when we are dissatisfied, when we feel guilty and ashamed, we tend to look for Jesus, but sometimes look for him in all the wrong places. And the great irony of the resurrection is that Jesus is found not in places where people expect him to be. Instead, he is found right where he said he would be. He's found in his word, in his gospel, in the sacraments, in baptism, and the Lord's Supper. We find him in the word that is preached to us. We find him in the Bible that we read each day. We find him in our baptisms, where he's washed away all of our sins. And we find him in the Lord's Supper, where he gives us, in his own words, his body and his blood for our forgiveness. But that's not the natural or the normal place where we would naturally go and look for him. It's not. At times, even we look for him in the wrong places, don't we? We want to find him in our own hearts. And unfortunately, we often have a tendency to look inward when we should look outward and look outward when we should look inward. We look for Jesus here. Maybe we'll find him in our feelings. We feel a need for Jesus to speak to us in some other way, maybe in the world around us, or to reveal himself in some sort of miracle that we can really see, that we can really observe and see for ourselves. But when we do this, we're essentially looking for the living among the dead. We need to remember the words of the angels in our text. Hear those angels' words that point to the words that Jesus spoke. Remember what he told you. The last verse of our text tells us that the women did exactly that. They remembered Jesus' words. So suddenly it all came flooding back to them. With that simple expression, Luke shows the power of the Holy Spirit, that he can create, he can strengthen, and he can clarify our faith. And what was it that these women remembered? They remembered the gospel. They remembered Jesus' promises. They remembered his promise of everlasting life. That is where the power is. And when these women remembered it, they believed it. When they remembered Jesus' promise and began to understand that he had kept that great promise, they began to trust in all of God's promises. Remember what he told you. Remember Jesus' words and his promises. Remember his resurrection. Because Jesus' return back to life brings us and our hearts back to life. We don't want to look for him among the dead, but he did have to look for us in the spiritual graveyard. Our hearts were dead in sin. He had to come and raise our hearts back to life, back to faith, through the power of his word. The resurrection is more powerful than sin and than death itself. It creates new life. It changes who we are and what we are. And the truth is, on our own, we would only look for Jesus in the wrong places. And so he came to us. He comes to us every time we come to communion. Every time we remember the gift that he gave us in baptism. And every time we gather here to listen to the word of God, to hear the gospel, whether it's here or reading it for ourselves in our homes. And so today we come to Jesus' house not looking for the living among the dead, but we come to see the living Savior. To rejoice in the fact that his tomb was empty. To rejoice in the fact that the women got to hear the greatest proclamation of all. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Jesus kept his promise. So we don't have to go to a cemetery to find him. We don't need to look inside ourselves to find him. We don't need to look in the world around us to find him either. He's right here where he said he would be. In his word, in the gospel. And in his word, he tells us, reminds us, he is risen. He is alive. And because he is alive, God promises us that we will be alive forever with him in heaven. God promises us all of our sins have been washed away. God has accepted that payment that Jesus made on the cross, which we commemorated just a few days ago. Because he is alive, we already have new life through faith in him. Let's rejoice in that new life now and look forward to that eternal life with him in heaven. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.